welcome everyone here this morning. We have some special guests with us that we want to recognize. So we have Colleen Payne and her daughter, Christina, and their son, Colton. And Colleen's parents, William and Marion Payne, served with the Christian Missionary Alliance for 50 years. He was the pastor over at Seaford Alliance Church. And so we recognize and we welcome you folks with us. They're traveling from Chestertown and came through. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. And any other guests that are here today, we welcome you. We trust you'll feel right at home in this great family of believers. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 6 as we continue in our study on the book of Acts. If you have the paper outline, turn with that. If you don't, turn in your electronic device to the app. That app has both the sermon outline and also the PowerPoint in it. If you have any trouble downloading the app, if you could get some help from Mike Windsor or from Randy up in the sound booth, they can help you with that. I actually downloaded the app and have looked at it, and that's about it. I've got to be trained, retrained. Amen. So we're looking at chapter 6. I'm going to read this morning the first seven verses in the chapter as we talk about the call on our lives to serve. Let's read the word of the Lord. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come now to your word. We ask that you will speak to us, that, Lord, we would receive what you have for us today, that we would have open hearts and open ears, and that we would obey as you direct us through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. And God's people said, I remember the first time that I served outside of my immediate family. I was on my own in the sense I had graduated high school. I was going to a local college, and I had started attending a church separately from my parents. Imagine that. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? I was attending a little Nazarene church at the time, and what I loved about that is, you can give a shout out on that, John, Jennifer, Michael. And the pastor preached the word right from the scripture, and I could understand it. And I grew exponentially under the teaching of the word. And so they had a Thanksgiving outreach, much like we do here. And the pastor invited us to collect food, and then we would, together, we would distribute food to people that were in need. And that was a great opportunity. It was something I'd never done before. And it enabled me to grow because I was serving, doing something outside of myself, doing something that wasn't, you know, for me. And it was a wonderful opportunity. It also helped me to begin to see and understand my gifts and my abilities that God had given to me and how I could use those, how God wanted me to use those. Of course, there was much more to come in trying to understand what God had for me. As we look at this message here this morning, this passage of Scripture, I hope that it will help us to see that every one of us here are gifted. And every one of us have abilities and talents that God has given to us, and that He wants us, and we are called to serve the body and our community that He has put us in. And God will use every one of us in the gifts and the abilities, the talents that we have, if we will allow it, and if we will give ourselves to the Lord, He will use us to minister to other people. He will actually distribute His grace through you. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because we often think about God's grace, and sometimes we get this mystical idea that God's grace just somehow floats out of heaven and floats down upon me, and boom, it's kind of like a water balloon bursts on my head. You know, that's not how God's grace works. God's grace works as we use our gifts and distribute, administer the grace of God to one another. That's what the Word says. And we're going to look at it together. And so the main point of this message is this, that God has created a plan of serving for the body of Christ, and every one of us has a part to play. Every one of us. You might be here today and say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have any gifts or if I have any abilities, anything that's, you know, worth using that God could use. Absolutely. You certainly do. You'll see in the Word that every one of us has some kind of a gift, some kind of talent, some kind of ability that God wants to use. In fact, He gave it to you, and He gave it to you for the purpose of ministering and serving other people. As we look at this passage of Scripture here, the context is that there is a daily distribution of food amongst the believers. A daily distribution of food. Isn't that interesting? Why is that? Why is there a daily distribution of food? What has occurred that has caused there to be a need for a daily distribution of food? Well, number one, we see that it is the widows that are being overlooked, the Hellenistic widows. That simply means the Greek-speaking widows. You see, the Scripture makes it very clear, and we read this in James chapter 1, that true religion is to take care of widows and orphans in their distress. And so the early church, the early believers, is taking care of their own. There is many older folks that have come into the church, become believers, become disciples, many widows among them. And the church has the responsibility, not the government, the church has the responsibility to take care of its own. And widows are a first priority. And so there's this distribution of food. What else has caused it to happen? It's because many people have become blacklisted. When Jewish people would become disciples, believers in Messiah Jesus, their families, like today, shun them. I want you to think for a moment in the job that you have. And because you become a believer in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden your boss comes to you and says, you know, I don't like this Jesus stuff you're into. You're fired. Get out. Pack your stuff and get out. Or maybe you have a small business. And one after one, people are coming into your small business and saying, you're one of those Jesus freaks. I'm out of here. We're not buying anything from you. We're not patronizing your business anymore. And the day goes on and there's nobody coming in and the cash register's empty. End of the day, you've got more bills than any income that has come in. And this begins to happen day after day after day after day. What do you do? What do you do when your reserves have run out? Well, in the early church, they looked to one another. As we read in Acts chapter 2, where it said in verses 42 and following that they were devoted to one another. You remember that scripture? You remember that sermon? That they were devoted to one another and they cared for one another. They gathered together and they ate together in meals, communal meals. And there was a daily distribution of food taking care of those that were in need, primarily widows. Well, a problem rose. The Hellenistic or Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked in favor of the Hebraic or Hebrew-speaking widows. And so the Hellenistic Jewish believers began to complain. Their widows were being overlooked in this daily distribution of food. You see a little bit of ethnic racism in the early church. Oh, Christians can be guilty of that? You bet. And we need to get it right. There's no room for racism in the body of Christ. We are all one in the body of Christ. There's no room for racism. I remember we went to a church in Columbia, South Carolina. They asked us to go and restart a church that basically had closed. And there was a little group of people left that we worked with in getting a church started. And, you know, I'm from New Jersey. It's that other country that's north of here. And Brenda grew up in Gaithersburg in Maryland. And so we got two northerners. Oh, wait a minute. Is Maryland north or south of the Mason-Dixon line? Oh, all right. Well, that fell out. That fell flat. Anyway, we're down there in the south, and we had some southerners that were a part of our church. And when I got there, I began to proclaim from the pulpit, just like I do here, that this is going to be a church for all people. We want all people in our community to come, black and white, Hispanic and Asian. Whatever your background, ethnicity, you are welcome here at this church. Well, I had one fellow who had grown up in the South, and he kind of came to me after the service. He said, Pastor, I'm not too sure that I'm comfortable with that idea. And I said, well, I have two choices for you. Number one, and I hope this is the choice that you make, I hope that you will stay and get it right. Deal with your racism. Get it right here in the body of Christ, because that's what the Word says. Get it right. There's no racism. There's no ethnic bias in the body of Christ. That's your first choice. Second choice is, if you choose not to do that, the door swings both ways. You're welcome to come, but you're welcome to go, because this is God's church, not yours. And unfortunately, he went. He left. But my plea was, let's get it right. And in the early church, they had to get it right. Later on, we know Peter actually has to confront Paul about having a bias against Gentiles and withdrawing from eating with them. And so the early church had to deal with this like we do today as well. Well, this problem, this issue has caused some grumbling. Grumbling in the church. Can you imagine that? Of course, we never grumble here at church, do we? We never grumble when a preacher goes longer than he's supposed to. By the way, you notice how early it is today. Maybe I can get done early here today, too. Do I hear some grumbling? Well, the apostles, the 12. And by the way, the 12 are really the preachers, the leaders, the spiritual leaders. And they come to the people and they say, look, it would not be right for us to get involved with actually serving tables. So here's what we want you to do. Choose from among yourselves seven men. That's a good biblical number, right? The number seven, that's the biblical number of completion. Choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we'll turn that responsibility over to them. And they will oversee that responsibility. It will get done the way it's supposed to be getting done. People will not be neglected. And we will focus on prayer, giving our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. They would continue to pray, they would continue to seek God for His direction, and they would preach and teach the ministry of the Word. So, basically what they're saying is, no more grumbling, get involved. No more grumbling, get in the game. And you know, that's something that we have to hear today. Sometimes we grumble about what's going on in church. Well, you know, they don't have this program anymore. Man, they used to have every Friday night, they'd have movies, and they'd have hot dogs, they'd have pizza, and popcorn. Man, we'd come here Friday night. Now they did away with it. Man, what's wrong with that pastor? What's wrong with them leaders down there in the Island Church? Well, guess what? We need some leaders to step up and have a movie night every Friday night. Let me tell you something. Why isn't the deaconesses, and Judy Bilwalk in particular, she's heading up having the movie night? She's a deaconess, and they got certain responsibilities. Outreach isn't her specific responsibility, but no one else is doing it. So she's taking up the mantle. Can I get an amen or an oh me? See, we're easy to grumble in church. We're easy to criticize, but how about we get in the game? Well, let's move on. No more grumbling. They said, get involved. Here's what we're going to do. They come up with a plan, and they say, you're going to do it. You notice the apostles don't say, well, here's how we're going to fix the problem. No, no, no. They give the direction because they've sought God, and they say, you folks, choose from among yourselves seven men who are godly, who have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to who? Them, you. And here is where we have the beginning or the creation of what's called the diakonoi, or the deacons. So in verse 2, it comes from, this word comes from verse 2, where it says, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Some of your translations say serve at tables. Some of your older translations might say minister at the table. Basically, it is the verb form of the word diakonoi or diakonoio, which simply means to serve. So, in a biblical context, the word diakonoi is a deacon. If you could bring that up for me, Randy, in the outline, the PowerPoint, diakonoi. Back one. Forward two. No, I guess I didn't put it in there. Shame on me. And kudos to you. Diakonoi. They are attendants, servants, and really it means one who ministers through meeting needs in a practical way. I want you to hear this. It's not merely just waiting on tables. It's not merely just doing a menial task. That's not what the apostles are saying here. Because it's an important task. Remember, it was a priority in the early church that the widows not be overlooked. It's a priority that those that are in need, that need is met. And so these are people who are ministering by meeting practical needs. And that's where we get the word deacon from. Now, that word deacon has become a buzzword or a Christianese word in the church. But what it means is one who serves. One who serves. So, in Island Alliance Church, as well as the Christian Missionary Alliance, the wider fellowship of churches that we are in, we have both deacons and deaconesses. We have deacons who serve here in this church, and their primary responsibility is to oversee the practical needs of the ministry here at Island Alliance Church. So they administrate the benevolent fund. Every first Sunday of the month, we receive a benevolent offering, and the proceeds from that, or all of that offering, is distributed, administered to those that have need. Many of you have experienced the blessing of having that. And I shared years ago how I was blessed by receiving that when all of my tools were stolen. And sometimes you get in a jam and you need a little help. And that's why we're here. But not just us. We also minister to the wider community. And we're able to help people even outside of this church. And we do that through the auspices of Haven Ministry, as well as many other churches. We also have deaconesses, where they serve for the specific and practical needs of the ladies. And so we have both deacons and deaconesses who minister through meeting practical needs in the body here. Just like the apostles had oversight, so in this church we have elders that oversee the spiritual and ongoing needs of preaching the word and ministering that way through prayer. You can read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, where it talks about deacons, it talks about their wives. It also talks earlier in the chapter about elders. I don't have time to go into all of that, to simply say that deacons became a role of serving in the early church. So, as we look at this then, I want to take what has happened here and I want to apply it to us in the body. So, number one, they were called to serve. These men that we just read about were called to serve. They were called upon to serve, and they stepped up. And so, the implication is we are all called to serve. We are all called to serve in some way. Now, in this particular situation, you'll notice that there is a lot of Hellenistic names that are here. You have Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Most of these people, most of these men, were from a Greek-speaking background. They were Hellenistic. And so it's going to be turned over to them. So they're going to make sure that the Hellenistic widows are being attended to. The other thing I want to point out to them is, you have other mention of Stephen, and you have other mention of Philip. Colin preached about Philip, which is in Acts chapter 8. Stephen is mentioned in Acts chapter 7, later 6 rather, a little bit later on, and also chapter 7. He's the first martyr. But beyond that, the others are not mentioned again in the book of Acts or in Scripture. Why? It's because they're unsung heroes. They serve because they want to please and worship God in the gifts that He has given. They're not looking for recognition. You see, and when we do things because we don't care who gets the credit, except we want to give glory to God, then the body prospers and ministry is accomplished. So they were called to serve. They were called upon to serve. They stepped up. We are all called to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Cameron Booz is going to read that for us.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Peter's reflecting back and he's thinking, wow, you know, those that served, served faithfully. And we as the apostles, we were preaching and we were praying and seeking God. And so he uses this as an example. Now, this is not meant to be exhaustive. It is representative. He says, one of you who has a gift of speaking, if you're called to speak and preach and teach the word of God, we should do it as the one who speaks the very words of God. And if you are called and gifted to serve, guess what? You should serve in the strength that God provides. Why? So that in all things God may be praised. Go back to verse 10 for me, Randy. Whoever has a gift, whatever gift you have, that you've received it, serve others. You are faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see it? God's grace comes out of us in various forms. I've used this illustration before, but it's kind of like a prism. Any of you ever used a prism when you were in school and they taught you about sunlight? Do they even do that in school anymore today? I'm not sure. But you would take that prism and you hold it up to the sunlight. And of course, the sunlight is sort of a white or sort of a yellow color, and it would come through and it would show you the rainbow of colors, the spectrum of colors that's coming out of that prism. So it is with the grace of God. We are part of the prism of the grace of God, and the grace comes down from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, who is present on the earth, and He is in us, the Spirit of Christ, if we know Christ. And then that grace is one of those different colors. Some of us, that color comes out in a particular way. And that grace comes and it shines on people. Don't you know certain people that they just seem to have the gift of evangelism. And man, they shine on people. And every time they meet somebody within a few moments, man, they're talking about the Lord. They're talking about the goodness of God. They're talking about how they got saved. They're talking about how this person who they're talking to, how they can get saved. I think that's incredible. And we need that gift of evangelism, don't we? But what about people who are hurting? You have others who have the gift of mercy, and they come alongside, and the person who's just hurting and downcast and despondent and depressed, and they come alongside, and within a few moments, they're able to minister to that person with this gift of mercy, and the grace of God comes through and begins to help that person, begins to edify and build that person up. Aren't you glad for the gift of mercy in the body of Christ? Because, man, we need a lot of mercy, don't we? We need a lot of mercy because we are broken people. Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10, he says that God has created special works for every one of us to do. Watch this, that He has prepared in advance for us to do. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has works, good works, for you and for me to do that He prepared in advance. He already knew in the mind of God before eternity passed, He knew He was going to use you with the gifts that He has given to you to minister to other people. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? I don't know about you, but that takes a lot of pressure off of me. I don't have to come up with it. I don't have to create something, you know, and figure out how we're going to do this. I've had people who ask me, other pastors and other church leaders and district leaders, and say, well, okay, Tom, what's your plan for the church? How are you going to grow this church here? And I get it. You know, there's certain things we've got to do. We're part of a particular culture. I get it, you know. But beyond that, it's like, I don't have a clue. This is the work of God. And there's two things that I know what to do. Number one, we're going to pray. And number two, we're going to preach the Word. That sounds like what the apostle said, isn't it? We're going to pray and we're going to preach. And then we're going to let God do the work. But other than that, we need the gifts in the body to come alongside the praying and the preaching to serve the needs of the people, to bring people to a place where they know they're loved and cared for, wanted and welcomed. I want you to think about this for a second. What if you walked in this door as a new person and not one person spoke to you? I hope if you're here new today, I hope that hasn't happened. And if it has happened, then shame on us. We need to get our act together with those that are welcoming and all that, so on and so forth. I believe our welcomers are faithful workers and are friendly people, and God is using you that way. Well, what would you do if you came in here and you sat down and, you know, nobody spoke to you? And you sat through the service and you sang the song and you prayed the prayer and the preacher preached the word and you dismissed it and you got up and you walked out and nobody spoke to you the whole time. How would you feel about that? And then that second question, do you think you're coming back? I had somebody that actually said that to me. And thankfully, it was several years ago. Oh, you know, I worship down at your church, Island Lines Church. I said, really? Oh, that was great. When was that? She said, well, it was several years ago. And she said, you know, not one person spoke to me. I was like, oops, shame on me, shame on you. I hope that doesn't happen. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Can I step out of this sermon for just a moment into another sermon? We need to get out of our comfort zone. If you see somebody that you don't know, Here's what you do. Say, hi, my name is PT. You fill in your name. How are you? What's your name? Welcome. Do we need to stand up and practice that? Some of y'all come in here and you don't talk to anybody, and then you try to exit out the side door here. I found that thing open, unlocked, at the end of the service. Some of y'all trying to escape. Maybe you don't want PT on you. I don't know. Folks, get out of our comfort zone. We have to step out of our comfort zone. Well, Pastor, I'm an introvert and I don't really like talking to people. Get out of your comfort zone. You can say it. You can do it. You can do it. My name is Welcome. What's your name? And then you don't have to say any more than that. Okay? Let's get out of our comfort zone. Number two. Not only were they called to serve in this way, and God had already gifted them, and it was evident, there was a qualification. Number two. There was a qualification. They were qualified. The apostle said to them, choose seven men who are known to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And then verse 4, when they're picking people, they choose Stephen first, who's a man who is full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And I already mentioned, these are unsung heroes. These are men who served, and except for Stephen and Philip, they're not mentioned again. But God knows them. Amen? God knows them. And God is interested in the gifts He's given you. What are you doing with them? God knows, and God is looking, and God is watching, and He's wanting to use you and wanting to use me. Well, they were qualified. How about us? How are we qualified? Well, we are qualified by living a life worthy of the calling we have received. We are qualified by living a godly, Christ-like life. Not perfect. None of us are perfect. Anybody gotten to that point here where you're perfect yet? No takers. That's good. We're not perfect, but we are striving to be Christ-like. We are striving to be godly. We are living a life worthy of the calling. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, he's in jail. He's in jail. And he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You have been called to follow Jesus Christ. You have been called to put your faith in Him and to honor and worship Him as Jesus, the Lord and the Christ, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Everybody awake? Still awake with me? We got 5 minutes and we're coming into a landing. I know y'all don't believe me. So we have to live a life that's worthy of the calling Jesus Christ has put upon our lives. I encourage you, go home this week and read chapter 4 of Ephesians. And he goes into some very interesting things there. One of the things he says is put away filthy language from your lips. Don't use filthy language. In other words, don't be part of the culture around you that is constantly using filthy language. Brendan and I were watching a couple of episode of a series that we liked. And it used to be a really decent series. And we put it on the other evening. And man, within the first few seconds, there's all kinds of cuss words coming out. And then they dropped the F-bomb. And we said, that's it. We're done. Not watching this trash. That's it. We'll just have to find something else. We'll order some DVDs on Star Trek. Well, amen. I got one disciple. Help him, Jesus, right? Put away filthy language from your lips. The end of that chapter, here's what he says. The only thing that should come out of your mouth is that which is helpful for edifying and building up one another. Read chapter 4. That's your homework this week. Chapter 4. Number 3. The men were called. They were qualified. And number 3, look at the outcome. Look at the outcome with me. needs were met, the Word of God was taught and spread, and the number of disciples increased. Even some Jewish priests come to faith in Christ. Isn't that amazing? So many of the priests and so many of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they opposed Jesus. They called him a charlatan. They were constantly looking to trip him up, constantly looking to accuse him, trying to discredit him. And it says, now the priests. And guess what? You know why it's so important that the priests? Because they're the ones that really lead the people. The priest is kind of like the local pastor. See, you have all the bigwigs up there, the teachers of the law and the members of the Sanhedrin. They're kind of like Congress, you know? They talk, and nothing gets accomplished. Can I get an amen on that? That's why we pray for Congress. That's why we pray for our president. But it's the local priests that are sort of like the local pastors, and they're the ones that interact with the people on a daily basis. They're the ones that talk to them as they come to give their sacrifices. And they say, oh, can you pray for me? Because our family is going through this and so on and so forth. That's why the Word of God was spreading. That's why disciples were coming and disciples were increasing. And this is what will happen as we all step up and use our gifts for the glory of God and for the ministry of the body here and of the community. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Eileen Rich is going to read that for us.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work.
Amen. Thank you. So as we all pitch in, we all do what God has called us to do. Can you leave that for me, Randy, 1 second? That's the last scripture there. The whole body, joined and held together by what? What is it? Every one of us. You see it? Every one of us is necessary, is important. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when one ligament is out of sorts in your body? How do you feel when a hip ligament ain't working right, Jonathan? It ain't pretty. I remember it was 1991. We had a church softball team, and we were playing, and I hit a single, and I ran to first base, and I hit the bag, and my ankle turned. It was the most excruciating pain I'd ever felt in my life. I literally was screaming, and I got up, and I couldn't walk because I had torn the ligament on the side of my ankle, and, you know, I had to go through the whole 9 yards. It was so painful, and it debilitated me. I couldn't function the way I needed to. I had to use a crutch. For 2 weeks and physical therapy and the whole 9 yards. Because of one little ligament in my ankle. You see, we have this idea that, well, I'm just a little old me and I'm not very important. You know, I'm here to tell you every ligament is important. Every supporting ligament is important. And if each of us are not doing our part, then the body is not going to be accomplishing what God wants us to do. So, as I end, what is your gift? What does God have for you? Do you know? If you know what your gift is, wonderful. I trust that you are using it. And there are many, many people that are using their gifts wonderfully here in this church. But if you're not sure, then I think I have it on the slide, the last slide. You can go to teamministry.com And there is a spiritual gifts inventory that you can take online. And we invite you to take that and send a copy of the results to us. You can just do it to the email office@ionalliancechurch.com. Put some accountability in it. Don't just do it and say, okay, well, that's nice. We'll help you to know what to do with your gifts. Right now, we need some additional children's church teacher. Do you enjoy working with children? Has God gifted you? Now, if you act like Gestapo, like me, then, you know, you probably don't want to be working with kids because they'll end up crying and we'll have to, deal with you. Maybe, you know, that's where God's called you. Maybe you'd like to be involved with the greeter and usher ministry. There's so many, many ways. And God has gifted so many people. It's been exciting to see God raise up, especially young people over these past years that are now sensing God's call. They're involved. They're contributing to the body of Christ. It's just been wonderful to see that. Amen? And that's what we want God to do, to continue His ministry. God grows the ministry, but we have our part to do. What is your part? What is God calling you to do? I'm going to brag on Marty and Wendy for a few moments as I end. I've been after them for years. I've said, man, we need to have a recovery ministry in this church. We need to have a recovery ministry in this church. Every time I'd see him, I think I'd mention it to him. I think he got sick of hearing it. So he kind of avoided me. And finally, a few months ago, I said, guys, let's get together and let's pray and let's ask God how we can have a recovery ministry. And guess what? Several months later, we have a recovery ministry. It's about to launch. You might say, oh, aren't they wonderful? They've started this. No, God started it. We're simply making ourselves available. They've simply made themselves available. God will do it. God will do it. And He will use them just like He will use you. You might say, oh, I can't do that. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. You know how things start? With a God-given idea that He drops into our spirit. And we say, God, I don't understand this, but I will follow what You have. That's what He has. He wants to use us. Amen? He wants to use you. What is He saying? What is He speaking to you this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is true, and it gives us such confidence and such grace because Lord, we know it's coming from You. I pray for each one of us in this area of ministry, of serving. Lord, there are so many ways that we can serve. And we know, Lord, that You will do a beautiful thing when we give ourselves to You, when we step up. Lord, I pray You would speak to every heart here today. Lord, that we would not go away and just put this message on the shelf. Lord, that we would know what our ministry, what our gifts are, what part we are to play, and that we will do it. Give us the encouragement. Give us the strength. Give us the boldness to step out of our comfort zone and step into Your grace. Lord, we give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor for this. Lord, I bless Your people. Thank You for their attention to Your Word. We go forth from this place into our mission field. Lord, use us to share the hope and the gospel of Christ with others. I bless Your people. In Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. First time folks, love to meet you in the lobby. If you need prayer, our elders and one of our deaconesses will be in the front here. God bless you all.